Turn to Joshua chapter 8, and we're going to go through the whole chapter tonight. Just continue our journey through this wonderful book, The Fall of Ai. Now the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Take the people of war with you and arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, his land, and you shall do to Ai, its king, as you did to Jericho and its king, and only its spoil, its cattle, you shall take as booty for yourselves and lay an ambush for the city behind it." Remember, we entered a new section, and this section is going to go from chapter 6 all the way into chapter 12 to where Israel is now moving beyond what God was wanting to do to prepare them. Now they're actually going into the promised land and they're engaging the people that the Lord has already told them that is in the promised land. So they're engaging the enemy. Chapter 6 and all the way through 9 is dealing with the central campaign, which is really made up of two military battles. One we looked at was Jericho, and then the other was Ai. And you remember Jericho was this incredible, just absolutely magnificent victory. Okay, have you ever had one of those just unbelievable victories? Now I know most of you in here compete in some level in some type of sports. Okay, you guys are really heavily involved in tennis. Okay, tennis. And more tennis, okay? What is it like when you really win, when you beat someone that you didn't think that you could actually beat? What was that like? I mean, what is that like? Right? You really kind of play to win if you're going to play in a tournament, right? You don't want to just get beat or whatever. You know, no. What is it like to just, it's an incredible feeling. Now, let me ask you this. When you go from that incredible feeling of how it was you won that next one, and then you come into a situation where you kind of go up against somebody that, man, I really should just wax this person. You may not say it or whatever, but you're thinking it, right? And then you get defeated. What's that like? Oh, that was last night. Oh, so you can tell us, you know, your personal experience of getting waxed. How old was this person, by the way? Okay. But you kind of get my drift, right? The people of Israel, they follow the Lord's plan. They do exactly what needed to be done in Jericho. But you remember from chapter 7, there was this one guy that chose not to obey the Lord. And what we saw was that it cost the people of Israel. Okay, I would scratch your back, but I just don't think that'd be appropriate. Margaret always gets mad at me when I rub against the corner. She says, "You're not a cow out in the field on a fence post." Oh, that is okay. I mean, okay, just go ahead. that you're making me itch. No, I'm kidding. But it was the small town of Ai. It was this little town to the west, and Joshua didn't really he didn't inquire of the Lord. He just said, "Hey, let's send 3,000 people." And you know the rest of the story. They really get their business handed to them. 36 men die. That's 36 families, husbands who are no longer alive. It was an incredible, devastating defeat for Israel because everything up into that moment was victory, right? It was all based on what God was wanting to do and how God was wanting to. And He said, you know, everywhere you're going to step, everywhere your foot, it's all yours. And now all of a sudden, they were in the promised land and it just did not make any sense. This little podunk town of Ai, how could we have been defeated, right? Remember Joshua's response? He rips his clothes off and all the elders, rips his, you know, turban off and throws dust on his head and mourned before the Lord. And then the Lord gives Joshua some important information that Joshua was not aware of. There was this guy named Achan who, well, there was sin in the camp. And then God gave Joshua the plan for rooting out the sin in the camp. I had a bunch of other stuff that I was gonna go back over and kind of remember. No, that's not a word. I just want to look at Joshua's prayer. And then we're going to dive into chapter 8. because what I want us to understand before we get into chapter 8, I think we pretty much remember the gist of what happened in chapter 7, and it was just an incredible bummer that this man would lose his life and really lose everything, but that's what sin does. I want to look at Joshua's prayer, and then I want us to move into chapter 8, because what I believe the Lord would really want us to take home tonight is, what does it look like to walk in victory? And just some simple keys for walking in victory. They're not difficult. There's not anything that we have not heard before. And, you know, the more I study the Bible, the more I realize that the things the Lord asks us to do are so simple that we miss it. So simple that we miss it. Joshua tore his clothes. He fell to the earth, his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, Lord, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us in the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, had we been content to dwell on the other side of the Jordan? Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land will hear it, surround us, cut off your name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name?" Joshua's prayer, it was emotional. It was raw. He had no idea what happened. It's a loss. This is not a small defeat to Israel, period. It is devastating for Israel. And the one thing we need to take to heart, what godly leadership does when the wheels come off the cart, they don't send more resources in or come up with a better battle plan or game plan. They do exactly what Joshua and the elders did, was they get before the Lord and ask Him in brokenness what had happened. And really, that was the beginning of these guys walking into victory again and engaging Ai in chapter 8. It started with that prayer. Okay? Now, all the stuff that in between, that's a bummer, but don't miss out on the fact that when Joshua really kind of dropped the ball by not seeking the Lord to begin with, when the wheels come off the cart, what does Joshua do? He seeks the Lord. He gets humble before the Lord and he asks the Lord what the problem is. Now let's look at the plans for victory over Ai, since we already know what happened to Achan and all that other stuff. The theme for the chapter will be the fall of Ai, but also in the tail end of the chapter, Joshua is going to do what Moses told the people of Israel to do when they got into the promised land. They were to renew the covenant. We'll look briefly at that later. So look at verses 1 and 2. God gives Joshua some encouragement before God gives Joshua the battle plan for taking Ai. "Now the Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid nor dismayed. Take all the people of war with you. Arise and go up to Ai. See, I've given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, his land, and you shall do to Ai, its king, as you did to Jericho and its king, only its spoil, its cattle. You shall take as booty for yourselves, lay an ambush for the city behind it.'" God, once again, look what He does. He uses the same words in the first part of this verse. It says, "Do not be afraid nor be dismayed." Okay, think about everything that's just happened here. Defeat in the battle, loss of 36 men. Joshua and the elders are brokenhearted over the defeat of Ai. They had no idea why Israel was defeated. God informs Joshua, sin in the camp, gives Joshua the process for revealing the sin. They find out it's Achan. Joshua would, I put myself in that situation of everything that just happened. I would have been physically done. But more importantly, I would have been emotionally done. It's one thing to be physically tired. That's a different kind of tired. But you know what it's like when you're just emotionally tired? I mean, the whole process of everything that occurred in chapter 7 of rooting out this sin and everything would take a toll on Joshua. Okay? And I love the fact that the Lord gives him the same words He gave him in the very beginning. Do not be afraid. You know what I'm saying? You know what? God knows exactly what is going on in our hearts. He knows exactly where we're at. He knows exactly everything that's transpired. And He gives Joshua exactly what he needs to hear. he gives him some encouragement. Do not be afraid nor dismayed. God encouraged Joshua with words he's heard before. And guys, when we find our place in a place of just being overwhelmed physically or emotionally, the best thing we can do is just listen for the Lord. Open our Bible to words we've heard before, such as in the Psalm. Psalm 25 is one of my favorite, first five verses. To you, O Lord, I will lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in truth. Teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I will wait all day long. Or in the Gospels, okay, like Stephen's old pastor said, used to say, if you're feeling dead, what? Read the red. Read what God has said. Read what Jesus is saying, right? Spurgeon said this about encouragement. I've thumbed my Bible many a year, and I've never yet thumbed a broken promise. The promises have all been kept to me, and one good thing has not failed. I knew this pastor that all of his time was being ate up with people wanting to come in for counseling. Okay, and he was like, okay, what is the deal here? And then he got to a place where he would ask them these simple things. Okay, just two simple things. Are you in fellowship? Are you regularly here in fellowship? Okay. And the number two thing was, are you reading your Bible? And if they said no to either one of those things, well, this is where you got to start. You need to be in fellowship. You need to be amongst your brothers and sisters in Christ. You need to be in corporate worship and corporate study. And you need to be having some devotions privately. Why? So we can amass a bunch of information? No, so we can be encouraged by the Lord. Who failed this week? I'll ask you a question. And everybody in this room has been walking with the Lord for quite some time now. But is the rebound on the failure quicker than it used to be when you first was walking with the Lord? Well, you have an understanding of who He is, right? You have an understanding that when a chapter 7 happens in your life that's emotionally and physically draining, that you know what? God is waiting there for just the right words and just the right plan, because God's all about His people moving forward, not staying in the same place. Just look at the natural growth of my son Jonathan. He's not who he was 5 years ago, is he? Man, he's not even really who he was 2 or 3 weeks ago. He's growing. Or my little girl. That's the natural process of things. You're born, and then you begin to grow, and you grow, and you grow, and you grow. God encourages Joshua. God encourages Joshua to go forward and take the city. Take all the people of war with you. Arise and go to Ai. God wants Joshua to get moving. Forget about the past. Walk with me into the future. And guys, we need to stop crying over spilled milk and focusing on spilled milk and start focusing on the Lord. And in doing so, we go forward with the Lord. And that's what the Christian life is all about, going forward with Jesus. I love Paul's heart. And when we get really deep into Philippians, we're going to make it to chapter 4 unless Jesus comes back. But Paul's heart was, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you've done well that you shared in my distress. All things. All things. He learned things. He kept moving. He kept going forward. Guys, going forward with God is never a bummer. And we'll always be blessed when we're walking with God. God tells them, only its spoil, its cattle, you shall take as booty for yourselves. Blessings await in the city of Ai. And oh, how foolish was Achan not to wait on God to bless him and take something that he had to hide in his tent anyway. This is just, you got to stop and you got to think about just what happened and what God's telling Joshua. Joshua, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Get up. Let's get moving. Let's go forward. I've given the city to you. But not only have I given the city to you, I want you to understand something. You guys are going to be blessed. And I think we forget that sometimes when we're following the Lord and we're walking with the Lord, that we are walking into some type of blessing, however He chooses to bless. Sometimes it is material means. Sometimes it's just such a wonderful experience of God's faithfulness and His gentleness and His grace. We never, you know what, we never experience blessing if we dwell on what happens in the chapter sevens of our life. We need to draw near to the Lord, we need to hear from the Lord, and we need to walk forward with the Lord. David said this in Psalm 27, verse 13 through 14. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Not only does God encourage Joshua with words he's heard before, not only does God encourage Joshua with blessing awaits, let's get moving, Joshua. He also encouraged Joshua with what he needs to do to take the city. He gives Joshua the battle plan. He says, lay an ambush for the city behind it. God gives Joshua a plan for defeating Ai. Remember, guys, the key to victory, okay, this is it. This is the key to victory or walking into victory, okay? It's not really big. It's just following God's instructions. And His instructions are found in His Word. It's just drawing near to Him and wanting to hear Him and move forward with Him. It's not anything that's radically hard to do. I find that the only time that it's hard to do is when my heart's hard, to be honest with you. Psalm 119, verse 100 through 103 says, I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I've restrained my feet from evil way that I may keep your word. Moving forward, right? Here's the instructions for the ambush of Ai, verses 3 through 8. And Joshua rose and all the people of war to go against Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city, behind the city. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. Then I and the people who are with me will approach the city, and it will come about when they come out against us at first, that we shall flee before them. For they will come out after us until we've drawn them from the city. For they will say, they're fleeing before us as of first. Therefore we'll flee before them. Then you shall arise from the ambush, seize the city, and the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it will be when you have taken the city that you shall set the city afire, according to the commandment of the Lord you shall do. See, I've commanded you. Verse 3, Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor. Joshua doesn't send 3,000 like last time. He sends 30,000, but these are not just ordinary men. They're mighty men of valor. We see Joshua's not only going forward boldly, but he's going forward wisely. He's using resources in the best way possible. He's saying, okay, so here's the battle plan, but I want the mighty guys, I want these 30,000 guys, these special troop guys, I want you guys to be the ones that hide out here, okay? Because you're the best resource for that plan and part of that plan being implemented. I think so many times what we do is we try to fit a square peg in a round hole instead of fitting a round peg in a round hole. And some of us, what we do is we want to be a square peg and we want to try to be fitted in a round hole instead of a square peg being fitted in a square hole. Wise leaders, good leaders, faithful leaders, they want to try to use the resources they've been given in the best place possible. And that's what he does. But Joshua, look what he does. Joshua therefore sent them out, and they lie in ambush and stay between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people, and then Joshua rose up early in the morning and mustered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai. Joshua was able to trust those 30,000 mighty men of valor guys. Okay, you hide out. I'm going to go back with the people. And I'm going to stay the night with the people. Now, what has the people just seen and experienced, by the way? They experienced defeat. They saw defeat, right? Okay? It wasn't supposed to happen. And think about this just for a moment as well. They also saw what happened to Achan. It wasn't just a, a kind of a traumatic, emotionally, physically draining thing for Joshua. Remember, they went tribe by tribe, family by family, individual by individual. That would be kind of a stressful thing. Have you ever been called into your boss's office? Okay, and you know you haven't really done anything wrong, but you're called into your boss's office. Do you get nervous? Do you automatically think it's going to be something bad? It's kind of sometimes a stress. Sometimes, you know, your boss calls you and then wants to give you a raise. Right? Very seldom, if you're doing what you need to be doing, you don't have anything to worry about, but we find ourselves sometimes getting a little wigged out over stuff like that. Well, what did I do? Did I not do this or could I not do that? It was a kind of a stressful situation for all of them. But Joshua, being a wise and bold leader, he knows that these mighty men of valor, they're going to be okay by themselves what they're doing. Okay? But he also knows that, you know what? The best place for me as the leader is I need to be back and I need to stay with the people and encourage them to go forward. See, he's acting wisely. He's acting boldly. And you know what? Isn't that not what happens, okay, when you get encouraged by the Lord? Do you not start looking at things differently? It's like, oh, well, you know what? The best thing we... Okay, perfect example. We were up here Saturday, and we had to run a bunch of cables, and Carl and Stephen are playing with the soundboard, and I'm just thinking about these cables that have to be run in the ceiling. And I'm getting that look on my face, oh, if we'd stayed in Egypt look, okay? That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, because I've already played the tile game here. I mean, these things are in the 80s. They fall apart. You got insulation up there that falls in your face. It's just a pain. Like, there's some things I don't like to wash crock pots. I don't like to watch skillets. After you scramble eggs in them, okay? And I don't like to mess with these tiles in any level. So they're doing their thing, and Stephen's looking at me, and I have on my face, oh, if we'd stayed in Egypt, look. And so we start doing this thing, and then all of a sudden, we just start having these ideas. It's like, you know what? Why are we doing this when we could do this right here? What's going to be the difference? And then in a matter of a short period of time, we were able to get accomplished what we want to be accomplished. You know what I think happened? I think the Lord just stepped in and encouraged. And as He encouraged, then guess what happened? Things just kind of opened up. Joshua is encouraged by the Lord. He's given the plan, go forward with the Lord. And then he says, you know, notice the Lord didn't give him all the details of how to do it. Joshua was the one, okay, mighty guys, you here? Okay, you guys are going to be perfectly okay here. I'm going to go back so I can encourage the people. Alright? That's what it looks like. And that's what, you know, that's what good leaders do. They don't come up with some kind of plan. They just pass on what they receive from the Lord. That's it. You want to disciple people? Don't try to make them like you. Point them to Jesus. That's it. Just, you know what? You go spend time with Jesus. Now look at the victory at Ai. The preparations for the battle. Remember, God told Joshua to ambush the city, and Joshua and the people do exactly what God commanded. They're setting up the ambush, verses 11 through 13. And the people of war who were with him up drew near, and they came before the city and camped on the north side of Ai. Now a valley lay between them and Ai, so he took about 5,000 men, set them up in an ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they set the people and the army that was on the north side of the city, its rear guard on the west side of the city, Joshua went that night in the midst of the valley, and all the people of war who were with him drew near. Joshua and the people of Israel on the offense, they're not on the defensive side of things. And being on the offensive side of things is doing what God says do. And here's what God tells us we need to be doing when we're going into battle. Remember what it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 13? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole body armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Question, do we suit up each day when we go out into battle? Because life is a battle for the Christian, that is. Principalities and different things are going to come against us. I'm going to ask you a question. How many times have you just really struggled with your thought life? You just get this thought in your head. I had a situation yesterday where I couldn't get away from an assumption I had about a situation. And come to find out, guess what? And it had nothing to do with anything here. I hate to say that. We're so small. I mean, everybody, oh, well, you know, it's about me. No, it had nothing to do about anything here. It's something else that I'm involved in. And I had this assumption. I'm like, okay, did I hear this right? Did I not hear this right? Is this person, you know, all these things that we do. And then I talked with the person today, and guess what? My assumptions were totally wrong. You know, the best thing I could have done was take thoughts captive, please, Holy Spirit. Okay? We need to be on the offensive side of the ball. And being on the offensive side of the ball is simply doing what God tells us to do. And He tells us to suit up. Put on the full body armor of God. God's plan works perfectly. The Lord knows what He's doing, by the way. The fighting men of Ai leave the city in verse 14 through 17. Now it happened when the king Ai saw it, and the men of the city hurried and rose early and went out against Israel in the battle. And he and all his people in an appointed place before the plain. But he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. Joshua and all of Israel made as if they were beaten before and fled that way of the wilderness. So all the people who were in Ai were called together to pursue them. And they pursued Joshua and were drawn away from the city. There was not a man left in Ai or Bethel who did not go out after Israel. So they left the city open and pursued Israel. This right here, you know what it reminds me of as I'm reading this, and then I'm going to get back to my notes. It's just a scene out of the TV show A-Team. Just loving it when a plan comes together. When the king of Ai saw it in verse 13 that the men of the city hurried and rose early and went out against the Israel to battle, the men in Ai are using the same battle plan before against Israel because this worked last time against Israel, but this time is radically different. Why? Because God's with Israel. Guys, we don't need to be like the people of Ai. Oh, well, this worked before. Let's go do this. Well, this is how we did it before. Let's do it before. Let's go do it. No, we need to be like the people of Israel and ask the question, is God with us in this? How does God want to do this way? You know, if we're discipling people or maybe counseling people, you know what we don't need to do is, well, I'm going to give this person the advice I gave this other person over the same situation as this person. Instead, we ought to say, Lord, what's the best? Lord, what's your heart on this matter? What do you want to say? What do you want to do? How do you want to do it, Lord? That's the place of being. That is the best place that we can be. Is, Lord, how do you want to do it? I don't know how to do this thing. The people of Ai are thinking, wow, man, we're going to take these guys out this time. And think about this just for a moment. What we know is that this whole country, not our country, but the country that they were taking, were shaken up that Israel was coming. The people at Ai recently handed these guys the business. Now, I want to ask you a question. What kind of high are these guys floating on? Man, we just kicked their tail the other day. Jericho couldn't do that. Big Jericho, they couldn't do that. But we just little podunk duck commander people here. we just took them out. Little did they know. God's with them. Verse 15, Joshua and all of Israel made as if they were beaten before them, and Ai falls in the trap by Joshua, but it's planned by God. God knows what He's doing. Verse 18 through 29. Ai is defeated and the city will be burned to the ground. Then the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in your hand towards Ai, for I have given it to your hand. Joshua stretched out the spear that was in the hand towards the city. And here's something I hadn't thought of before, but as I was reading this, the Lord pointed this out to me. Joshua is not too busy in a battle not to listen to the Lord. Lord didn't tell him that before. I mean, they're in the midst of a battle. They're in the midst of a battle plan. They're in the midst of people who want to kill them. Okay? Joshua is not so concerned with the battle that his ears are not open to the Lord. The Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the spear. Joshua stretched out the spear that was in his hand towards the city. So those in the ambush quickly out of their place and ran in and stretched out as he stretched out his hand. They entered the city and took it and hurried to set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw and behold the smoke of the city ascended to heaven. So they had no power to flee this way or that way, and the people who had fled in the wilderness turned back on their pursuers. Now when Joshua and all of Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, they turned back and struck down the men of Ai, and then the others came out of the city against them, so they were caught in the midst of Israel, and some of this on that side and some on that side, and they struck them down so that let none of them remain or escape. But the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness, they pursued them, and when they had fallen by the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all of the Israelites returned to Ai and struck with the edge of the sword. So it was that all who fell that day, both men and women, were about 12,000. All the people of Ai, for Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he stretched out the spear until he utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the livestock and the spoil of the city Israel took as booty for themselves, according to the word of the Lord which he had commanded Joshua. So Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever, a desolation to this day. And the king of Ai hanged on a tree until evening. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take the corpse from the tree, cast it at the entrance of the gate of the city, and raise it over a great heap of stones that remains to this day. They struck them down so that they let none of them remain or escape. The victory of God's judgment is complete because God's faithfulness to Israel, but also understand this, Israel's being faithful to God. You know, I think it was Spurgeon that said that we work, we trust, we go forward as if it's all on the Lord, but we work as if it's all upon us. We're not lazy about what God asks us to do. Well, God's going to take care of it. Well, yeah, He is going to take care of it. But part of walking with God is what? Walking with God into what He's wanting to do. God's being faithful to Israel, but Israel's being faithful to God in implementing the plan that God gave them to do, and they finished the task. The keys to victory are simple. Joshua was encouraged by God after a time of defeat. Joshua follows God's plan, and Joshua used all the resources God provided in the battle, all the men of war, and all the mighty men of valor in the war. Keys to victory are very, very, very simple. Just seek the Lord. Have our ears open. Be encouraged. I think one of the greatest lessons that we need to take to heart is to draw near to the Lord. You don't have to feel like you have to spend 40 days of fasting before you come to the Lord. You know, I've heard people say before why they don't come and why they don't be a part of a fellowship is they say these things right here. Well, I got to get my life together first. No. 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 You need to come and be in fellowship, and let the Lord put your life together. Let the Lord do it. You're not going to get all cleaned up, and you can experience Jesus right now. But you don't understand what I don't care about yesterday. I don't care about yesterday. You want to step into God's grace and His mercy? You can do that right now. Look what the Lord just did with the people of Israel. Yeah, that was a bad thing that happened. Okay? Bad thing that happened. But you got to move past that, and you got to move into all that I have for you. And there are people that dwell on the chapter 7s of their life for years upon years upon years upon years and never move forward into what God has for them. Remember, as we're looking at the book of Joshua, we are seeing what the Christian life is supposed to look like in the here and the now. In the here and the now, it's claiming the promises in Christ that the Lord has for us now, claiming our inheritance. I think what we're going to do is we're going to use, because as I was just kind of going through this stuff, I felt like the Lord said, okay, what you're going to do is you're going to stop, and we're going to use when we renew the covenant to go into chapter 9. Okay? So what all I want to do right now is for us to focus in on just these keys to victory one more time. Remember, the section we're in is about Israel engaging the enemy and advancing into the land. Things to remember from tonight about walking in victory, which is simply walking where the Lord is leading. And notice this, Joshua had a desire to walk with the Lord. That's the number one key. Okay, so when the wheels come off the cart, what Joshua did not do is send those 30,000 men of mighty valor to go clean up the mess. He and the rest of the leadership got before the Lord and said, what's the deal? Why? Because they had the desire to walk with the Lord. Therefore, he was in a place to, guess what, be encouraged by the Lord. Guys, we need to stop and we need to listen for the Lord. And then we need to follow the Lord's plan. Let's be doers of the Word. Remember, it's not what I think is right or what you think is right. It's what God says is right. And use every resource wisely God gives. Stop and ask God, where's the best place this resource is to be used? We need to be people who are going to go on the offensive. Being on the offensive side of the ball is running the play that the coach has called, not doing exactly what, running the play that God has called us to run. We're to be on the offensive side of the ball. These are just simple, simple, simple things we've heard before that are keys to victory and walking in the promised land. Don't spend your time in chapter 7. Okay? Don't do that. Get up, move forward, go forward with the Lord into all that He has. Let's follow our Joshua, our Jesus, Jesus, the captain of our salvation into all that He has for us. Captain of our salvation into all that He has for us. Captain of our salvation into all that He has for us. Captain of our salvation into all that He has for us. Captain of our salvation into all that He